Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Well, thank you, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly. And, of course, I want to thank y'all out there listening, another show, this glorious Friday morning in Los Angeles, City of Angels. I had a really fascinating guest last week. Do check her out, Carrie Fezza. It was fascinating because after her analysis regarding, based upon the astrology for the next three, months or so, and where she talked about an issue sort of surprising about the U.S. getting into making peace with its enemies, and then the next day came out where I saw, in fact it was all over a lot of the news, that the U.S. has been in heavy talks with the Taliban to make peace in Afghanistan, and then they were talking about pulling back troops, which she had said as well. So it's sort of fascinating. She surprisingly have been not surprising to me, but maybe to people out there, highly accurate. Hopefully I will have her on down the line. And she did this about 4 years ago. Actually, it was one of the first times I think I had her on, where she did actually the natal charts of all the candidates, and it was highly accurate. So I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to do as early as I did last time. I'm going to have her possibly, if she's willing to do it, probably toward the latter part. And we'll see how that goes, but that's, of course, way, way down the line. So my issue of today, and I have to get into this because, usually I'll pick out a show of certain things when I do, like, a dialogue or a monologue of situations, and like I usually do is when things pop up, that questions I see people reiterate for things or things that I see that really needed clarification or some things that maybe I said in a way before in a past show or maybe have to restate it in a different way. I've done different things like integrity and other issues or even issues of Kabbalism and things like that. So anyway, this has to do with the things that were the them or they, the thoughts of they and them. And I'm talking about like where people are because it's issues of the mentality. It's like the McCoys and the Hatfields. It's always something. It's always somebody else. It's always they or them and this mentality of separation. And people think that there's like with the misconstrued understanding that there's always the positive negative as in this situation, which is a different issue. Which has nothing to do, by the way, with the yin and yang, and it has nothing to do with positive, negative things. And I've been saying Yi Qing has definitely nothing with that. And it has nothing to do with action and reaction. It has nothing to do with the positive or negative. In this situation, where I'm going to get into about the mentality of division, I would call it maybe a negative thought or dark thought in a sense, because it does lead to that sort of energy. But instead, but it's really more than just that. And also saw, and this is why I decided to have this, I recently saw on a History Channel of all shows, and they actually talked about what's the 2012 and all that stuff, and the catastrophes, according to we were talking about the Hopi. Of course, they said Hopis. The guy, you don't even say Hopis. There's no saying Hopis is Hopi. About their prophecy and how the Mayans and them and there's going to be 2012 or whatever, something catastrophic, which they don't really ever say, and so to speak. What they do talk about is about our decisions and what we do come into, value our decisions. And it deals with coming to the real understanding how we're all connected. That is the Cochina, meaning which is branch. It's where we choose to come to realization that we are part of the earth and part of each other. That is the movement of earth, that vibrational area. That is what is about their prophecy of the Hopi, not anything that has to do with the catastrophes. The catastrophes is because with the same mentality of division and separation, almost like cancer, the Earth is just going to eventually spin us off. So those people or those souls who choose to want to maintain that mentality, in their eyes, according to the Hopi, will not be around. And that's why there's two people going up and people holding on or whatever. So it's nothing like what they are saying, and I was like rather surprised, especially the History Channel. First time I saw something that, God, what the hell? And then especially after I had done a documentary of them, so I had sort of insight knowledge of their belief systems. So that's getting to that, and it's issues of it's in them, and it's and what I'm and I always notice that the people who claim to be, oh, I'm all awakened, and it's, I'm awake, and blah, 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 and I'm all enlightened, or whatever. And yet they always fall back to it's them or they mentality. And there seems always to be this victimhood type of thing. It seems that there's always got to be a nemesis, you know, the evil person, the other person. It's always us against them. And there's always seems to be always a division, even with from families to friends to relations to in-laws, to employees, to employers, haves and have-nots. It's always them, it's they. Who, but who? I mean, who are they? What are they? I mean, really, think about it. You know them. You know who they are. You know, they'll use, like, you know, they control us. They have control everything. They control the government. They are the true owners, and you ain't one of them. Them. They'll tell you how to vote. They'll tell you what food is good and bad. They. They tell you what to watch and what to hear. They. They tell you what to wear. They'll tell you how to believe and what to believe. They will tell you how to think even. They'll tell you what is good and bad. They'll tell you what is good to read and not to read. They'll educate you, or they call it education. They'll tell you what they think is education. And the use of this term of education, they will educate your children and our grandchildren. They will place others to model after. I mean, they'll place like heroes and celebrities to worship or look forward to or envy or feel jealous of. They will tell you how to pay, that you're going to have to pay your taxes, to pay certain things. They will tell you how to work, how many hours to work. They will tell you when you can take a vacation and out of vacation, when you can rest and not, how to entertain yourself. I mean, it's always they. They will tell you how and where you can travel and what means. They will tell you what is deemed necessary and what isn't. They will even let you think you have a choice in the say of matter, such as policy, but they are in control of everything. So who are they? What are they? Is a conspiracy of they or them? I mean, this is where I find it fascinating. I find people utilizing that word. So why is it often that everyone uses it, they or them? What really is important? Perhaps it's us that is the problem and the issue. It's not them or they. Because they or them are in reality us. We all are of humanity. I mean, it was the other day. In fact, it was like a couple of days ago. In fact, it reemerged, ironically, yesterday. I was in a rather, not really, it wasn't even a heated discussion. It was about references of dogmas and stuff like that. And I use a reference of they, and this person thought he was being taught things in Kabbalism, and I use this as, well, I think you were taught the wrong stuff, and he was rather shocked. And then I told him in reference that a lot of information is being dispersed and told without an undercover and a label of something that isn't real. And this has to do with a lot of philosophies, and a lot of it starts with the mentality of and viewpoints of looking at things in a finite understanding, which I'm going to get into. And this is where he was effectively wrong from the foundation. I mean, if you learn things in a spiritual context and the dogmas, if you start from the very foundation that it's wrong, then it's going to be, you're going to end up with a wrong given finality of understanding. So if you have the wrong premise from the very get-go, how do you expect to come out to have something correct? It would like having a table with, you know, little twigs holding up the table. If the foundation isn't correct, the whole table collapses when you go through it. So when I told them the real issues, then I basically told them, listen, and he kept on describing how he was learning Kabbalism through somebody, whatever, a very famous person or whoever, I don't know who it was, that, and pay whatever, and, you know, he referred as like a whore. So I said, listen, that he's been screwing the whore, and now he finally got screwed by the whore. And I said, listen, maybe you were screwing the whore, and the girl who thought you was a girl was really a guy who had a surgery, and now you thought was a girl. So basically, you got screwed from both ends. Do you get it? And he got really upset when I said that. I said, and so the thing is sometimes there's an illusion of circumstances, of understandings, and you can't hide away from it. This is our problem in our society. This is a problem with humanity. We're constantly being shown through the earth, and this is why people such as Ben Stewart, myself, and many others have consistently put out information to get try to present to humanity to get back on track. This is what Earth is doing. By listening to Earth, we're connected. You know, like I said, I've often heard this mentality, though, of they and them. And they claim, like I said, many claim that they're awakened. And awakened from what, I suppose. I don't know. Many will assume what they understand to be the reality is in their own assumption of the reality and based upon their own perception. So I'm not going to digress too much in the awakening issue because I did a whole show about what being awakened. But being awakened has absolutely nothing to do with awareness of them or of the Illuminati or they or whatever, or whoever thinks they that the control or trying to control humanity are often referred to as the New World Order. I mean, are often referred to the New World Order. This has nothing to be about being awakened in the spiritual sense. It's only being aware of possibly of these situations, which they are, do exist. That's, I'm not saying they don't. It has nothing to do with being awakened. Awakening is your spirituality, is being awakened to the reality of your soul and what the universe is. It's having that true understanding. That is being awakened. That, and it's not just awakened, like it's a process. Like I said, I'm not going to go into this. I guess I am now a little bit, but I have to in order to get to what I want to get to, where I want to help gather to the understanding of what I'm trying to convey. So don't assume and make assumptions based upon others' opinions who claim that they are in fact, when these assumptions or opinions have only the basis of projecting your own questioning minds to think, question, even what perhaps the media and authorities tell you. You must always question. That is being more awakened. To question things. Even those who say they're awakened or brought in question, that's being awakened. Because your sense of self, you want to know, have a sense of true understanding. It's the search. Awaken is also being aware of the possibility of what there will be or may not be. Awaken is strictly in the spiritual understanding of how, what, and who the universe is, what, and how we all are. To be awakened is to be spiritually aware of the connection between all humanity and the universe. Real simple. To be awakened is to be aware of the infinite array of our universe, how it really is infinite. It is not that we know. We never know. We only understand. That is being awakened. We understand that in our universe, it is infinite. And the projection of the finite is both illusionary and illogical. We understand that in our universe, through the awakening process, we are purely energy. As within the universe of energy, energy will always exist in one form or another. We understand that energy is simply converted from one form to another. That's the same with ourselves, us. We understand that within the universe, there is a constant of movement, thus a change of constant change. All things change. We understand that for every action, there is a reaction. And finally, we understand that within our universe, we, in reality, are all connected. Whether with our present puny, minuscule perception of a finite, which can't be perceived, it is, in fact, that we are deeply all connected. And this leads to the usage of them and they. Who are they? In our societies, we have been brought up and educated and raised, if you want to call it that, with the assumption that they, the universe, is finite. Even though they'll say with that we do live in an infinite universe, then why do we live as if it isn't? See, this is the paradox. Look at our medicine. They use Newtonian therapeutic systems, yet when they do their investigation, they use energy. They use an infinite way of determination of your illness, whether it's a CAT scan, whether it's MRI, X-rays, energy. You know, they take that images out of energy. That's what's coming off that picture that they see. They visually see that energy. Yet, what do? They look at the body as almost like parts, like it's a car, instead of realizing it's an energy form of systems, cells talking to each other. You know, it's not a block. You don't have like a tube in you. I mean, the cells create and function, creating a tube, let's say your intestines or your blood cells and your vessels and all that. But they constantly are in communication, and there's energy going back and forth, and that's how what's going on through our DNA and our RNA. I mean, our cells are constantly rebuilding; it's renewing themselves. So it's all based upon energy, the transfer of energy, and it's all based upon communications. It's all connected. So within the universe, and it is infinite. I mean, you know, I remember I had a professor and he went on the show and he was talking all the time about how we're all expanding, we're infinite. And then he says, well, there is a finite. You can measure from one to another. And then I looked down, wait, you measure from one point to another, but how far is that point? And then as I get further and further down the rabbit's hole, you realize I actually talked with him about that the infinite possibilities. That in reality is only going toward infinite, even in measurement. Measurement in itself is just an assumption. We're giving a guessing. In reality, for example, atoms, you know, how far do you go down inside the atom? What is actually electrons? We can't even guess. We don't even know where the electrons are flying around or buzzing around. We guess approximately where they are. But you don't see there's a straight line in the universe. There's actually a curvature, and that curvature is approximation. When you shoot a projectile from one place to another, that's based on more Newtonian, but there is energy. And that there's other things that are involved that are affected, which is the reaction-based things. But in the reality of our universe, what I'm getting to is we are infinite. The reaction is that things of the illusion that we constantly live in, we project things upon ourselves in a finite capacity. Yet we try to say that their things are infinite, but we live like finite. And this is from generation to generation. This is the foundation of the illogical nonsense that we do live in. How do we live? We see in our ears and we touch and whatever. So we have these finite approaches, but actually, if we broaden ourselves with that infinite understanding of things, then we'd actually come to the reality of what things really are. And we'd have different approaches toward different things. And then that would change, increase our ability to perceive and understand things. See, we from lifetime to lifetime, from generation to generation, we've been projecting our own illusion, this own illusionary fishbowl that we now assume we are in. We somehow feel that there's a separation, that we live in a finite capacity, because that is what our eyes and our ears perceive. You know, you see your hands, you see eyes, you see the computer, you see things and hear things in a finite, but in reality, we know they're made up of what? atoms and energy. We know there's more things than what our ears and eyes can see. We know that there is more. You know, there's all saying there's more, as some would say, meets the eye. Of course. We do see energy. Do you see love? There's love exists, right? But can you see it? No. It's a sort of energy. I mean, we were aware of cells within ourselves. And how do we know? Oh, because we have a microscope. But if you didn't have a microscope, how do you know where there are cells there? We're aware of things because we assume because of our observation of them. Yet our observation is limited by our perception of ability. And these perceptions, these observations, of course, can be skewed, as determined by physicists have proven. We can have even askew our own observation and bring about what they call the collapse of the wave function, which meaning basically it can predispose the outcome by our own observation, which has prominence to our thought patterns, which we now getting to understand. We understand there is, though, that energy that exists in unlimited form causing the universe. And this is confirmed, through a general understanding amongst all physicists. I mean, we only know 5% of our universe. We know there exists dark energy, but we don't know what it is exactly. We know there's dark matter, but we don't know what it exists exactly. We know there are dark holes, and we're sort of gaining understanding what that is. See, there's so many things that within the universe that are unlimited understandings. They're because of our infinite situations. We're using finite methods. And as we leave the finite methods to infinite approaches to observations, we come to the reality of things. And this is the foundation of understanding. And this is the problem that we have with even amongst ourselves. This is our very issue with ourselves. We are aware that we each affect each other in one way or another. We're aware that, you know, because even though each of us are quite unique, we are all deeply all connected to each other. I mean, I've said this before, in reality, we're like leaves on a tree of life with different views, but in reality, we're all still connected. We have that same tree trunk, the same common root. We all affect each other even by our own thoughts. Our own emotions cross between each other. We live upon each other and dependent upon one another. Think about it. One way, shape, or form, we are interactive between each other. So who is they and who is them? It's they. Those are they and those are them. They control or assume they control us via the monetary system and policies they decide, and they. But in reality, they are also us. Why? We allowed them by our choice. And not choosing, by the way, is a choice. We always choose one way or form. Whether you believe it or not, we just made that choice not to believe it. They or them are just the symptoms of our belief systems. They are being there under the illusion of the living within the fishbowl division, and that the illusion that we've manifested with our own belief system that we're somehow separated from one another. Because that is an illusion in reality. We just paint it that way, but that's not the real reality of things. It starts from our own illusion from us within the universe. This starts with our own illusion that there is a God separate from us. It starts off when we somehow must personify a God separate from us. This starts with our illusion that the earth is somehow separate from us. This starts with our illusion that we are somehow separate from all living things on this planet called Earth. This starts with our illusion that there will be others determine what the universe is and that we must listen to their interpretation like the clergy. This starts with our illusion that when people need a desire to project their lack of self-worth, they will impose their illusion and their perceived notion of separation upon all others, including including all humanity. This starts with our illusion that when we all see, all we see is you, and you don't see you, when in reality you are all divine. This starts with our illusion that the universe isn't perfect. This starts with our illusion with it's them or they, instead of in the reality, it's us. We chose it. They are only the symptom of us, our thoughts, our beliefs. In the illusion of cancer causing separation. It's not them. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not the liberals. It's not the conservatives, the neocons, the tree huggers, peace lovers, God-fearing. It's not the Jews. It's not the Muslims. It's not the Hindus. It's not the Buddhists. It's not the communists. It's not the socialists. It's not the Zionists. It's not the Illuminati. It's none of them. It has and always will be us. It's not the Christians. It's not the Mormons. Again, it has and always will be us. It's not the Bilderbergs. It's not them. They're part of us. We allow those things. They're part of us. We as humanity must take responsibility for our decisions and choices. We always love to blame. And we're always blaming. We elect people, then blame. Then say sometimes we don't even elect, and so it's easy to say, hey, I didn't vote for them. Blame. Sometimes, like I said, we still blame if we don't even make the choice, but we did make the choice by not choosing as a choice, and yet we still blame. We sometimes have rulers like those in Syria or Iran or Libya or whatever, but these are our choices based upon our own beliefs. And the second these people use them as they are the product of us. They, them, are us. You don't like it? It's the reality. They always said you cast your own shadow. There's an expression where light casts shadow from the person onto the ground. And your shadow is always following you wherever you go. I mean, your shadow is part of you, that dark side of yourselves. That's sort of the part of humanity we have to come in and acknowledge. It is part of us. If we had true sense of our self-worth as a society and realize how deeply we are connected to each other, then what would happen? I mean, if we realize how deeply connected we all are to each other, how can you hate somebody that are part of yourselves, of being them, they? Then what would you do? Hate them? Then it would be like hating yourself, because they are you. It's really that simple. I mean, I can go look into probably every area around the world, from Britain to France, Italy, Germany, just in Europe, Spain, Portugal, Russia, you know, Serbia, Croatia. God, I can go through all of Europe. France. I mean, they all, just in Europe alone. They have a them personality. And then people who come and live there bring on that them personality, them. This constant division. I mean, I was reading on Huffington Post, and I was in a chat with people talking about, you know, people talking about immigration and how people choose to impose their belief systems, like issues of, and what happens to that. And I said to them, well, immigration in Europe is how, example, how immigration doesn't work. And in America is an experiment of showing how immigration does work. And they didn't get it because I think they were from Europe. The person I was arguing with, he didn't get it. I was trying to explain that it was a sense of more trial and error. Amazingly, in the U.S., probably a sense of, here's an example how people do come together, you know, when there's a, they realize that they are all, you know, even though, you know, there might be Mexicans and non-Mexicans or Hispanic, Latinos, black and white, different religious aspects, different ethnicities, Italian, Jews, Poles, Irish, I mean, go on and on and on. From Eastern Europe to wherever, you can think about in the United States alone, with the multitude of peoples that have come here and live here, and yet somehow there are still stripes. I mean, they still have there's a mentality of division. If you look where the successes are within the society within the United States, it's when they come together and they realize they're all deeply connected to each other. I mean, the interesting aspect is, look at when a catastrophe happens, and this is where it brings in with the Mayan, the Hopi we're talking about. When a catastrophe happens, it brings people together. When I remember 9/11 happened, and I'm not going to get into whatever aspects the thing happens. I believe the universe is perfect, and things happen for a reason, and they're given to us for opportunity to learn and experience from. And it's out of those choices that we learn from is what we make of them. But it was an opportunity for example, people realizing when a bomb hits or killed all different peoples, it didn't choose only, you know, Christians and Jews or also Muslims. Or it didn't choose black and white or white. It didn't choose whether it's Latino, non-Latino. It didn't matter. It killed. And then it got into how everybody is affected. Or a catastrophe, let's say, for example, Katrina. Where it gets hurricanes completely, levees break down, or within the Mississippi where the rivers just overflow, people have to be forced to get together, or tornadoes. It's usually those catastrophic events that force people to merge together. Here's an example why. Look at Jews who live in Israel, who, you know, you people, whatever you think of it, whatever, is an example. Peoples who were dispersed, or most of very many people dispersed, have literally had a third of its population literally wiped out in just Europe alone. Had thousands being persecuted in Muslim and Arab countries on a daily basis, and yet they all merged together into a land and reformed their own nation and pulled together. It's amazing how, against the odds that they have been under 100-1 when it was first born, being attacked to be wiped out, 100-1. Think of that. Think of you, one person, there's 100 troops coming at you. Now you have two people, now it's 200. So imagine if you had 10, you had now, what, 1,000 troops coming at you? You had 10 people against 1,000. This is the odds with the Jews of Israel had against the Arab army. And they still prevailed. Think about it, because what? The catastrophe that was laid upon them, the more they stuck together. And that's sort of what happens. It's where, you know, I'm giving this example, it shows how people can come together. And when there's division mentality, the opposite occurs. And here's poignant into the Middle East, where people live within the mentality of division, separation. There's extremity of violence and hatred. And this is, you know, example. I can just go through every country in the Middle East. I know, you know, much as what you want to say, and I'm not going to be politically correct, because, by the way, next week's show, I'm going to do everything totally non-politically correct, or unpolitically correct, or whatever. I'm just going to say it how it is from every aspect. It's going to be a heavy, heavy show. But in the Middle East, there is a lot of anger and hatred. And here, you know, people did finally come together, let's say in Egypt or Tunisia or now Syria, and there are Iran even, and uprisings in Jordan and Morocco. And then, you know, I'm just curious. I want to see where actually, like, if there was a situation like in Israel, they have peace now movement. If there was really a peace now movement in the amongst the Palestinians, probably be peace right now. But the societies, and having lived in that area for such a long time, is based upon division culture. I mean, I know even amongst Arab villages, they'll have divisions within families called the Hamulo. They'll have divisions, and, you know, it's them and them in their own societies. So it's a division mentality. I saw this even in Israel. Israelis have, because Israelis, ironically, and Arabs have the same culture. This is why they have issues. They all live in this mentality of separation and division. This is also found, also, like I said, in Europe, but it's more magnified and more to an extremity in the Middle East. Lebanon's a perfect example. Shiite, Sunnis. I mean, I remember in Lebanon, you'd see rockets flying from one hill to another, and it'd be from a Christian village or a Shiite Sunni village to each other, because they all live in their own little hills, their own little villages, and they're separated. Even in Beirut, this is the Shiite side, this is the Sunni side, this is the Christian side. I mean, think about it. I mean, in America, they had something, they had areas still the same, and people like look at like, whoa, what the hell? And there, it's considered a norm. And the U.S. is looked at as it's a sore eye to see. When we see, oh, South Central is a black area, or this area is a Mexican area, or this area is a Jewish area, or this side is an Asian area. That is actually a soreness in the eye of the United States. When they had white-only buses and white-only places, or when the blacks had to sit on the back of the bus, the segregationists, that was a sore eye. And yet, look in the Middle East. It lives within a segregation mentality, separation, division of them. It's always them. Them. Get it? This is what I'm saying, trying to expose that people are under this microcosm of understanding and looking at things that's always them. I mean, you go into Africa and we have the same thing. Darfur was not an accident. Darfur was a thing ready to happen. Between Sudan of the north, which was Muslims, and non-Muslims in the south. It was ready to blow apart. Look what happened in Congo. I mean, it's always us and them. They have their tribes. It's based upon tribism. In Libya, it's based on tribal. I mean, it's tribal organized. You go to other areas. Afghanistan is based upon tribism. They're everybody's tribe, and they sort of have tribes. In Asia, you have the same situation. China is the opposite. It's tried to blur out the total division within size, but we're not rallying the distinct reciprocal nature in respect of peoples themselves. They should be able to express their cultural divisions while having unification. So China's trying to be like what America was, but opposite, by removing, forcing the melting pot, as they say, as opposed to living as a salad bowl. I mean, there's areas of differences. I mean, in Thailand, it's them. They still, as much as it's a appeasing country, they have that them mentality. God forbid you say something negative toward their queen or king. You know, I mean, it is pride, but there is them mentality. India's definitely got that them. There's divisions within their own societies. In Japan, Korea, North and South, Cambodia, Vietnam, Indonesia, Nepal. I mean, it's less so in Asia. And that's probably why there's a less amount of violence, possibly, and less amount of things, but it's still there. If you go in Latin America, there's definitely still the division mentality. Them, less unification, the haves and have-nots. I mean, in Philippines, Australia, it's all over the place. and different levels of them and separation mentality. I mean, it's everywhere. And some things are, like I said, more focused, more in a reality of the situation, more you can see it more clearly. Like I said, the Middle East is really easy to see because it's really, you don't have to go scrutinize what's going on. It's like thrown in our face. And I think that's what, in society, if you look what's going on in the Middle East, it's showing what is wrong with humanity. And I don't say to say anything negative because I'm just calling how it is in the Middle East with the hatred and violence and things. It's not, there is a reason why that's there. Think of why there's the strife right now in Europe, because there's a clash of civilizations of Islamic to Western societies within and put in position from the very much of a very division mentality, as opposed to a tolerant society, a pluralism of trying to get less of inclusion of all peoples. Islam, the Islamic culture from these Muslim countries are a very core of separation, division mentality. And that's why there is a big strife between nations, between peoples. But still, that would not exist in Europe if they themselves didn't believe that way. They themselves say it's them or they. See, in reality, that mentality, that thing is all of us. The Muslims are us, the Jews are us, the Christians are us, the Buddhists are us, the Hindus are us. Doesn't matter, black, white, green, yellow. They're us, them. And in reality, we're like sort of like a, we're like, if you looked at humanity, we're like a bunch of cells roaming around the body, right? I mean, we're basically like cells. And we talk to each other. Communicate. That's how we're functioning within society, whether you're part of it in one way or short, and you know, buying and selling in the economical sense, if you want to talk it that way, or even saying hello, or eating, or having fun together, pop, good times, bad times, healing, doctors, whatever. We're constantly in communication, and both covertly and not covert. Straight ahead, where we're able to talk to each other, and just by our own energy, we're constantly communicating to each other like cells. But the problem is, us as cells within this body, we're acting and we think that we're separate. We act like we're separate from each other. And now this in itself is the paradox. This is the disease within humanity. We try in every way, with relief efforts and charities and goodwills. We treat the symptoms of this disease, which is a cancer, but none of these will amount to anything, a shrug of beans, as they say. Since in reality, all we're doing is placing small little band-aids on a multiple of tumors. We will only change when we listen to Earth and realize that we are all deeply connected to all and that we're all one. We are they, we are them. Us is they, us is them. We are all infinitely connected. We have no separations amongst ourselves. I mean, when humanity comes to terms with the understanding that there's nothing separating each other, that we come to terms that we're not separated from the world that we live in, we come to terms that the earth is part of us. I mean, even with our own dogmas and our scriptures, I mean, a lot of stuff has been translated and misinformed, misconstrued and misinterpreted. There are a lot of truisms within our own dogmas. We just can't even see them. We don't even see the reality. It's thrown right in our face. Constantly. It's like on our nose, around us. The trees, the air we breathe, the earth. It's shown right in front of our face in every aspect. I mean, we're told when we die or what happens to our physical body is returned back to Earth. It becomes dust. It becomes part of Earth. What does that mean? We're part of the same. The carbon molecules. There's another one. The carbon within our own bodies. Every living thing has carbon within it. Think about it. Carbon, a common one atom element, is found in every living creature. Carbon. And carbon is dependent on so many things of other people. And carbon makes structure, makes things. Think about it. And we're all somehow connected, like water. Another thing is real fascinating is that we're all made of water. All human beings are made of water. Think about it. All living human beings are made of water. What is water? It's movement. It can become ice. It can become gas. Many things. It's all related to each other. They're connected. I mean, things, it's shown how we're all part of Earth. And how we're, if we're part of Earth, we're also part of each other. Think about how something happens on the opposite side of the planet and happens now. We now have the sciences and the technologies. Now we're so infinitely connected to each other through the internet, through Facebook. Look what's happening now on Facebook. How people, you can have friends in countries you never thought you would have. They used to do a thing called pen pals, where people write little letters and phone country. Now there's none of that. Now it's instant pen pal. I mean, look, I look at my thing and I have friends from, I can't believe, from everywhere around the world. Through the internet. Just think about, through the internet, how many friends you have. How we've connected and became more one humanity. See, this is the opportunity. There's the positive things that we have are being thrown into us. There's a reason why the universe is pushing us into an opportunity to allow us. I mean, there's calamities, things that are happening to force us to realize how deeply connected. Our Earth is definitely moving into a different direction, a new aspect. And it's forcing us to look in the mirror and realize how infinitely connected we are and leave this lame, illogical, illusion, personifications of God, and leave the mentality of illogical, illusional, fishbowl mentality of thinking that we're separate from everything. I mean, we're constantly being forced more and more every day as days go by. Look within our own political structures, even within our own systems. I know in the United States, why did Barack Obama issue why he who isn't a suggest? But there was, I remember, because I worked in the campaign, I hate to say, and it was a mentality of unification amongst the United States. The reason why he got elected was people work together to fix our problems. And the only way we'll ever fix our problems here in the United States is if we work together. But they're still playing us against them mentality. The same thing in Europe. It's us against them, and look what's happening in Europe. They're still trying to keep all their marbles together and all their monies together. And I forgot to shut my phone off. In every aspect in society, we need to re-look at ourselves and re-look at the dogmas, the religions that we have. It's hard. It's going to be different. How can you tell somebody who's been constantly told to, who goes to church and told that there's a father and a son is your God and there's a savior and there's something you're separate from you, separate from everybody, and God is somehow separate from you. Oh, but he's connected to you, but he's in somehow separate from you. It doesn't make any sense, does it? How could somebody say, I believe in Allah, and then yet I hate the Jew or Christian? or the Buddhist or the Hindu. It doesn't make any sense. How can a Jew say God is infinite without, and it's so funny, by the way, this is where I got, God is infinite, what they say in Hebrew, Ein Sof, there's no limitations, and all God is with everything, so therefore we are all God, creation, the universe, us. Yet, when I said this verse, it's blasphemous, because you're saying there's 100,000 gods running around. He's still thinking, again, finite. No, not 100. We're all one God. We're all part of creation. We're all part of it. That's the reality. How do we change from A to A, go from A to B to Z to C? I mean, you think thousands of years, and thousands upon thousands, we went from this constant of belief system of a finite capacity of believing things are finite. Think about it. We stay within the finite system of mentality. And yet, by staying within this finite mentality, what we become is our own cancer. And then we go, gee, I don't understand why we have these problems around the world. Gee, we've got to what are we going to do? I mean, even the understandings and things of let's say for example, so global warming or climate change. And what do? We blame humanity as if humanity is separate from Earth. Again, separation mentality. When in reality, when you come to that issue, you find out, well, if you really want to know, there's not a truth behind it. It's that division mentality. You're looking at things with the wrong foundation. If we were to look at things in a more logical sense, we look at things in an infinite capacity, we'd see the things for what they are. If we looked at things connected how they are, then we would not be in the situations we are today. We'd be a hell of a lot more enlightened and able to perceive things in a more higher fashion. More doors would open up to more aspects. We would be the ETs of tomorrow, but we'd be living them today. And we're having more and more of these situations are being thrown in our faces for our belief systems to believe in the infinite capacity each and every moment. More and more today. Think about it was 100 years ago. It was only 100 years ago at the turn of the century before there was World War I. Think about where society was 100 years ago and where it is today. It has grown leaps and bounds. It was only about, 70 years ago when we had the Nazis and the Holocaust and the millions that were killed, not just Jews, but non-Jews as well, and how many soldiers and lives were killed during that time period, and since then, and then the Cold War existence. We have, as a humanity, have moved forward. We are progressing. But do you know why? It's because we're changing our system of looking at things. We need to continue focusing on the realities. The reason why people are questioning a lot of their ideologies, and this is what's happening right now, a lot of organized religions are feeling a threat because they're holding on that old aspect of division mentality. And I'm not saying that we need, it's moving to a society, as some people would call the New World Order, where we're all one and, there's going to be a whole control of them over us. That's not what I'm endorsing. I'm saying we come to a reality that we are all a society, as humanity. And yet we have respect for our uniqueness, our different views. are different ways of expressing ourselves. And that can be through our cultural means, our sexual means, as long as we're not doing something that is, in any logical sense, directly hurting somebody else. Like rape, torture, murder, theft. I mean, those are really simple. I mean, when we show tolerance amongst ourselves, that is the thing. I mean, people are talking about, oh, there's good democracies in the Middle East. Excuse me, you don't have a democracy if you don't have tolerance. That is not a democracy. Of course, that's not even a real democracy. The U.S. is not really a democracy. It's set up as a republic. That's what a republic shows tolerance and keeps so the minorities do have rights. You know, right of free speech, right of religion. Those things protect the expressions of the uniqueness of individuals. That which you don't have, then you don't have a truly republic democratic society. Give you an example, they have elections in Iran, but is it democratic? No. How about in Egypt? They say there's going to be elected. There's democracy rising maybe in Egypt, or will it? How are the cops, the Christians who are living there, how are they affected? In Lebanon, it's supposed to be a trying to create some sort of poly-democracy, but is it? When there's so much strife and intolerance to each other, if you're Christian or Shiite or Sunni, there's so much division. Hezbollah, so much division. I mean, it's really poignant. I mean, we need to come to the realization of what and who we are. I mean, people have heard the expression that there's a thing called the tree of life. And what is the tree of life? The tree of life is really simple. It is indeed what we are. We are indeed like leaves on this tree, viewing the universe with its unique and separate views. And yet, we are all connected. We're connected to the common branch, the same trunk that supports us, the same roots that nourish us, which is rooted in that same infinite universe. And that is the reality. And so it isn't they or them, it's us. When humanity as a whole raises its frequency, its understandings, so do they and them. That's why the projection of love is so important. When those come out and say, oh, love, 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 it's not kumbaya, oh, love your fellow man. That love consciousness actually raises the humanity. But true essence of love is removing that division mentality. As I said, love your enemies, love thyself. That was a hint. I mean, there's a lot of things in dogma and within the religions that's telling the truth. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's been manipulated, but there is things within dogmas of religion, whether it's the Bible, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, all those, they all have their truthisms within them. I mean, that's what I refer to within them, so people can relate. Let's remember the foundation of everything is that everything's infinite. Therefore, we're infinitely connected. The universe is infinite. If you walk around with eyeglasses that are infinite, you're at your first step to the reality of what we are. So I want to thank you once again for listening to my show. God, it's been almost 5.5 years now. When Pigs Fly. And until next time, till next week, I will have a very heavy, heavy show. Well, that will be one. And I want to thank you again. God bless you all. And have a glorious, glorious weekend. God bless you and love to you all. Love and light. Thanks.